rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Amen, amen. It's a good day. God's got something for us. Let's just enjoy the presence of God. As Brother Wiser takes us to the Word, we're going to study together. God's got something good in His Word.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. God's good. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. He is a good God. He is a good God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with saints of God today. It's a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. We may have some cold weather and some rain coming, but God is good and the sun is shining. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As we spoke last week, we talked a little bit about, we addressed miracles over the past couple of Sundays, and I told you I felt pretty sure that that was the close of that series, but as we closed out that series, and we speak about miracles, as our pastor said, there's got to be a need, right? And all of a sudden, my wife goes into surgery, and I thank the church for the prayers that went up, the flowers, the texts, the calls. I appreciate that. We had a little rough time there coming out of surgery, but she's at home recovering right now. Sure, they're watching online, but I do thank the church for that. And then our pastor, he's got an aggravation, so we're going to see a miracle there. I just believe it. So, you know, sometimes when you're teaching, you in the middle of something that you got going on, a message or whatever, you go down a rabbit hole. And you try not to stay there very long, and then you jump back up and go forward. Sometimes in our job we have this phrase, I call it a one-off, where you're in the middle of something, but you just have to have a one-off conversation about something happening. It's just called a one-off. So I feel like today, with everything that has gone on this week, with the last couple of series messages in the last series that we were teaching, I feel like today we're going to have kind of a one-off. What I want us to take home from this one-off is confidence. I want us to leave the house of the Lord today confident in who we are and that the Lord is on our side. Today I want to talk just a minute, and I won't be long. We got some special things happening today, and I'm excited about them. But today I want to address a little something that could be on our mind, and I feel like it's on the mind of individuals as we go through life. Several challenges come our way. Situations and circumstances hit us because we're human and we live in this flesh and bone. But I want to remind us of something today. I'm just going to drop a reminder in there, kind of like a little reminder in your bucket, that your failure is not final. The failure is not final. That's exactly what the adversary would like us to believe, is that when we fail, because we are human, we're going to fail. We don't set out to fail because we live for God in the house of God, and we take what God has put in us, and we try to show it to the world. But as fleshly humans, you're going to make a mistake. You're going to have a slip up. And I'm not talking about Brother Wisner going out to a street corner and shooting up fentanyl or whatever you do with that stuff. I'm not talking about that. We're just going to live life, and we're going to walk through it, and we're going to have an opportunity and come our way, and we might make a wrong decision. You might make a wrong decision on buying a car, you know, and then that car stays in the shop for 6 months, you know. But discouragement can come through that failure. And I want us to to get on the other side of that, because when oftentimes in life, you know, you might have a great idea, a great thought, and want to roll it out, and you may even start the process of going to rolling that idea or that thought out, and then all of a sudden you run into a block wall, you run into failure of that idea, and then discouragement happens, and then, you know, doubt, you question yourself, what was that really the best thing that I could have done? And even in our walk with God, did I hear from God with that? Well, just because you get this idea, and we'll tie it over into the spirit realm, in prayer, God lays something on you, and you feel and know, and you even get confirmation. As many times I've taught, if you feel that, go to the man of God, and we're two or three, and get confirmation. Even in that, we cannot think that the adversary is just going to sit there and let us go forward. He's going to, if we're trying to spread the gospel, if we're trying to lift up the kingdom, and we have a call of God and a responsibility that God has laid on us, the adversary is going to fight to keep that from coming to fruition. He's going to fight, and he's going to fight hard. And what's going to happen is he's going to challenge us and fight, and we're going to have these feelings like we missed it, or we're going to feel broken or wounded. We may even run into some fear along the way that we might have missed it, and are we really hearing from God? But Satan would like nothing more than for us to focus on that part and not focus on the opportunity of success that God has for us through those failures. It's through those failures and learning and those obstacles of learning that we grow. It says in Psalms 73 and 26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So God's going to be there forever, but we may fail. And as we fail, we've got to learn to reflect and to lean on the Lord and on the Savior as we go through this. Because Philippians 4 and 13 tells us that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So we're in the middle of this battle. We've got to remember those things, but it's the carnality of the battle that causes us to get discouraged and to fall short of what the calling of God has on us for our life. And it doesn't matter what that part is in the kingdom, because every individual has a part. They play a part, and every part is valuable to the growth of the kingdom. The body of Christ, notice they call it the body of Christ. You got fingers and arms and toes and, you know, a head. Every individual in the body of Christ plays a major role. Plays a major role. It doesn't matter what that position is. Every role is valuable. From the person that, you know, builds the building, to lays the carpet, to unstops the toilet, mows the grass, every person, that is a valuable key in the kingdom. And if you can imagine a big puzzle up there and there's a piece missing, the first thing your eyes are going to do to that puzzle is your eyes are going to be drawn to that piece missing. You're going to fail to see the beautiful trees or the nice looking, you know, red country barn over here on this side of this big puzzle. You're going to miss that, because it's human nature. It's the adversary's desire to get us to focus on what's missing. And that's the piece of the puzzle that we want to change today. We want our focus to turn, and we want to change that. We want to go through these lessons of life, as we've heard over the last couple of weeks. We want to go through them learning to lean on Jesus Christ in the midst, because there is no failure in God, and your failure is not final. God is there for you to lift you up. It doesn't matter how many times you fail. What really matters is how many times you get up. You know, if you're gonna fall one last time and wallow in it, then that's gonna be a situation. But as you fall, bounce back up. Let's bounce back up. Failure's not final as long as you get back up and try again. Failing is essential, is an essential step to success. You cannot succeed if you don't fail and learn from those failures. It is not your failures, but our actions to those failures that determines where you end up. Just a thought. It's how you respond to those failures that determine the outcome. Remember last week, E plus R will always equal O. Your response to the event will always equal the outcome. It will always equal the outcome. I want to give you a couple of examples, worldly examples of things. A gentleman by the name of Milton Hershey. I guess you would know where I'm going with that. But he worked in a candy factory for many years before he decided to go out on his own and try to do business. He went out on his own, did business, and he was a complete failure. Twice he failed. After the second time, he returned back to the family farm, and it was there where he perfected the art of making delicious milk chocolate candy. Today, we enjoy that in the form of Hershey's chocolate. Sounds pretty good. Some of you may know an author by the name of Theodore Geisel, I believe is how you pronounce it. This author struggled to write a novel that a publishing company would even publish. One of the publishers called his writings pure rubbish. 27 times this author was rejected. Finally, one day, he received a call from a friend of his that had just gotten a position as a publisher of children's literature and agreed to edit and publish one of his books, Geisel's books. Today we call this author Theodore Geisel. We know him as Dr. Seuss. All right, you just got to keep on pushing 27 times. We all know and have heard through school the stories about Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein didn't even begin to walk till he was 4 years old. And when he was in elementary school, the teachers considered him lazy because he would ask these random abstract questions right in the middle of something going on. Well, Albert Einstein today is known as he formulated the theory of relativity, which most in this room probably don't even understand, including myself. But yet, he didn't walk till he was 4 years old, didn't move around. Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison tried very, very hard. He failed many, many times. He is known in the inventor's world as more than likely failing the most times of anyone on a single project without giving up. Thomas Edison, when asked about his failures, told the reporter, "I have not failed. I have found 10,000 ways that it would not work." Now we have electricity because of Mr. Edison. Bringing it to some of our world, an individual by the name of Michael Jordan. He was a famous NBA basketball player. Probably arguably the greatest basketball player of all time to date. But Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. Coach said he wasn't any good. Michael Jordan got upset, went home, practiced a little bit, and he went to a basketball camp where all the college coaches would come and evaluate the talent and all this stuff. And he went through that basketball camp, and he did receive some attention from several coaches, but none of them invited him to college. So he went back home, and he practiced, and he practiced, and he practiced, and finally, he got an offer to go to a college, and today, Michael Jordan is in the NBA Hall of Fame, and notably, the GOAT of basketball, which is the greatest of all time. And then we have what we all know as Disney World, Mr. Walt Disney. Disney was fired by a newspaper because he couldn't write a story that was creative. How about that? They let him go. And then later, his Mickey Mouse cartoons, they were all rejected because they were deemed unfit. They actually made the statement that those cartoons would scare women. I'm like, okay, that's a weird history lesson there. But then after that, when that happened to him, the Three Little Pigs story that we all read to our children and have read to our children, that was rejected. That was rejected because it only had four characters in it. No imagination. Walt Disney, no imagination. How about that? Today, we have the great Disney company, as big as it is, and we have Walt Disney World. And we have all those Mickey Mouse stories to tell and read to our children. But what I'm trying to address and try to bring some of that world in is, look at the failures. But they just kept pushing. And I don't know their walk in life. I don't know their Holy Ghost field. I don't know any of that right now. I can speculate a guess, but it's probably not my role or my place to do that. Might find some dangers there, but just think about what they went through. Think about 10,000 times you try something and 10,000 times it didn't work. But remember last week when we talked about how we say something. Well, right there is proof that it, you know, he never said he failed. He just said it, well, that time it didn't work either. As humans, no matter how hard we try, we're bound to fail. We must not be afraid of this failure. That only means that we're really trying. We just keep going. We keep going back to it. We keep going. Now, we can evaluate failure in many ways. You know, we brought it all the way to Disney. I'll bring it to Sumter UPC this moment in time. I'll bring it to myself. Over the past couple years, we've been hit with COVID. We've been hit with all of that kind of stuff that's happening. And, you know, I run a company, and COVID was, retail companies, COVID and all the events and effects of COVID was very, very damaging. I mean, prices went up, cost of retail went up, all of this stuff went up. And pre-COVID, we were on the rise as a company, and we had bought some property. We were going to build and grow and do all this stuff, but COVID just shut it down. So that was the answer a couple of years ago, 18 months ago. But then as I walked through it, I started getting a little discouraged. You know, we're not growing. We're not doing, am I not leading the right way? Am I not coaching the team right? Are we not doing what? So all these thoughts came through my head, you know. And so I'd have to go back to the paperwork and look and go, okay, that looks good, that looks good. We're just not generating. We're just not generating right now. Costs are too high. And then you hear the issues of all the cost of hamburger and chicken and all this stuff going up. And we got to alter pricing. And you go through a fast food drive-thru with two and you get out with $24 now. And it's like, whoa. But, you know, that's the reality of life. But I will say this, as I questioned myself and I looked and I searched and I kept pushing, feeling like in my earthly job, I'm doing the right thing. I think I'm doing the right thing to help this company. I'm doing the right thing to help people grow, to help our company grow. Well, last week, I shared it with Pastor yesterday. Last week, I was on a business call with the owner, and we're going to grow. We're going to build a store in Florence. We're starting. We've got the blueprints. We've got everything, and we're going to call the bulldozer in this late spring, early summer. So we work. But during that process, I was discouraged. I got myself down and out over something that I had no, you know, I couldn't impact. It was just a fact of life. And that's what we go through many, many times, and we let that situation of the fact of life cause us to get discouraged, and we don't push forward, and we don't enjoy everything that God has in store for us, whether it be a ministry or a calling or whatever it is. We don't get the opportunity to enjoy that because we're the element that's causing it to fall short. And it's in our thinking. And so if we will flip that a little bit and start thinking like some of the individuals that I brought to our attention and start being confident that, no, wait a minute, that is a calling of God. That is a desire that God wants. Just like Brother Spikner over in Bishopville, you know, building the building over there. You go in it, I mean, it's a block wall. It could be devastating. It could be, wait a minute, but he's pushing through. And I believe this week we're some of us may even go over there through the weekdays, I'm hoping, and that church is going to be alive. It's going to be birthed from the ground up. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So I pray that we don't get discouraged as life comes against us. It's kind of like the weather. It's kind of like the weather. We end up with, you know, 72 degrees, 79 degrees, and you're out in your garden, and you're just tilling dirt and getting ready to do what's right. And then all of a sudden you look at the future forecast and you see, you know, 29, 31 degrees coming in the near future. Don't put the green beans in the ground. Hold off. You know, I walked out last evening and my potatoes were all green coming up out of the hill. I'm going like, oh, my goodness, they're coming up out of the hill. And then here comes cold weather. Me and Brayden got wheelbarrows of dirt and throwed it on top and throwed the hay, trying to protect them. But, you know, that's kind of like life. We see and then we hear, oh, cold weather. Oh, no, I can't do it. Go out and see the green and the life and go, how do you protect it? You get encouraged. You start doing something to protect what God has asked you to do. Whatever that may be, you know, whatever that may be. I got to go back to that. There is no small part in the kingdom. There is no small part. Every part of the body of Christ is important. I learned this a long time ago. I was in a church. I was a member of the church, and, you know, we were a pretty good-sized church, and I kept my responsibility that at that point in time was to make sure all the lights in the sanctuary and the foyer and all that stuff, that was what I was supposed to be doing, you know, for every service. And so one Sunday morning, I didn't get up there Sunday night, one Sunday morning, and I did it on a regular basis. I went in there on a Sunday morning running a little late. I got the biggest old ladder that we have, kind of like what we, and I go bailing through there. And the pastor was in there praying. And I felt terrible, Brother Andy. I felt terrible. I said, oh, my gosh, I interrupted the man of God praying and all that. And I went over to him, laid the ladder down. I'm sorry, Pastor. I didn't. He said, let me tell you what. He said, if that little interruption kept me from getting what God wanted me to speak, I'm not where I need to be. He said, that's an important part. Get on that ladder. I'll hold it for you, and let's fix that bulb. So, I mean, it was a little light bulb. So I learned something there. That kind of told me that every part in the kingdom is a value, and it's a value to God, and it matters. It matters, you know, and it's up to us to find out where we fit in. It's up to us to find out what part we play. Good to see you again, sister. Good to see you again. God's good, isn't he? But it is up to us to find that out. I don't normally pick on people, but I'm gonna pick on Brother Gabe today. He pushed himself from the story I hear about it. He wasn't ready to play and all that, but he pushed himself and he found out where he fit in, and look at what his ministry's doing now. I mean, it's exploding. But it took Brother Gabe figuring it out and pushing forward and efforting to it. I don't know how long he practiced. None of my business, but I know it came to pass. It came to pass, and now in many, many places, you know, he's known as a great music minister, and that's an awesome thing that he pushed through that, you know, and that's what we have to do in life. That's a down-home example of success right there. He saw a need, Brother Gabe did, and he pushed forward to it. I'm sure there was a moment in prayer where God spoke to him about it, and he pushed through it and to it. And so success can happen, and there's many times where we're going through that. Even stagnation can hit. We can plane out. We can level out. And then it's during that time, discouragement. And that's kind of what we did as our business. We kind of, you know, when I came over here, we were on a growth adventure. And then all the economics of life and business hit. And then we just kind of planed out. And we stayed planed out for a long time. And so it's kind of frustrating, you know, because you don't want to plane out and to level out. You don't want to just, it's like I speak often about the pond. If there's no water flow in the pond, it's going to get stagnant. It's going to get moss and muck all around it. So you have to have fresh water flowing so you don't get stagnant. That's the same way with the Holy Ghost. That's why in the Bible it's Paul, I die daily. Why? That's because as a child of God, full of the Holy Ghost, out there trying to win others, we pour ourselves out. We empty our cup, so to speak, our vessel. This is the house. This is the vessel. We empty that to the community, to each other, supporting each other, lifting each other up, encouraging each other. You're an empty vessel when you do the work of the Lord and the things that the Lord has called you. You become an empty vessel. But at that time, that's when God can pour fresh anointing, fresh fire back into that vessel. But if you don't empty that vessel out, if you think you've got all that God has called you to be and to do, you're going to grow stagnant. I mean, our pastor goes on overseas. And, you know, many men that pastor churches and stuff, they're retired by now. They have a different title, and they sit on a chair. And, no, he's in the field battling, you know, pouring out of that temple, pouring out. And so if you take that, an example of the pouring out, take it and apply it to every, let's keep it in the house, in the kingdom, pour it out in every position in the kingdom. Be the very best greeter that you can be. Pour out of yourself every single service. Every time you have an opportunity at that position of greeting, pour it all out. Be empty and let God fill it back up. This isn't the area of just, you know, whoever's got the microphone pouring it all out. No, meet somebody in the hallway, a new individual. Pour it all out and see what happens and let God fill back up. You go back, man. Yesterday, I had to go to Food Line. I went over to Food Line up on 441. Didn't get paid advertisement there, but I got out of the car, and I heard this wonderful music. I went, "What in the world is going on?" And I kept walking, and I got closer to Food Line, and there was a gentleman there. And he had an electric violin, and he was in the parking lot playing. Me and Braden stopped and listened. He was playing wonderful music. And I thought, what? So we went in, got our stuff, came back out. He was still playing. I went over and introduced myself, gave him a church card, gave him a business card, said, call me, because he was playing and people, he was in need. But he addressed it in a wonderful way. And so I honored that need. And then I gave him my business card and told him to call me when he got done. So he called me. And I'm going to put him in Hardee's, and I'm going to work him right up here. And he's going to play that wonderful violin in the near future out there. And if that works, I'm going to put him somewhere else. If that works, I'm going to put him somewhere else. I'm going to help this guy. But I also dropped the church card in there. And he said, hey, I noticed something was different. I'm going like, yeah, we got an opportunity. So who knows? Why don't we win that guy to the Lord and we have him sitting up here? I don't know. Are we that small? Is it that small? Or can we just dream big, you know? Just, whoever you meet, you just, wait a minute. And that just was wonderful yesterday. I thought, you know what? I'm not going to let this moment go by. I'm going to pour everything I got out, and I'm going to see if he'll call me. And he did. So who knows? And he's in need. And I was able to help him. And the community right there was able to help him. But he was doing it in the right way too. He was trying to help himself. So as long as they're trying to help themselves, the individual's trying to help themselves, what was he doing? He was pouring out. He was using a talent that God gave him. Okay, so if you put that in the kingdom, not just his talent, but your talent, put it in the kingdom, let God use it, pour that talent totally out of yourself, and let God fill it back up. Every so often, my wife and I, we get the opportunity to stop by Sister Reams. I'm going to pick on her. And, you know, she talks to us about prayer. She talks to us about prayer all the time. I've been praying. I watch online. I'll be praying. You know, it would be really easy for Sister Reams to get so discouraged she just gave up. You know, not give up, but just, okay. Well, just grow stagnant, I'll say it that way. But she don't. And I don't mean to pick on anybody in the congregation, and I'll stop right there. But, you know, I want you to know, don't give up. Pour everything you got out. You know, I think even Pastor said it one time to me, after a church service, you know, you go home, you're just wiped out. You're kind of limp. And, well, you've worshiped. You've taught Sunday school. You've greeted at the door. You've done praise singing. You've done music. Everything's all going. You're exhausted. So then that's why the Sunday afternoon nap comes into play. It's not because we're all fat and sassy and lazy. It's that if you're in the kingdom and you're doing what God's called you to do, you're exhausted. You've poured everything out. Now, I will say this, when you go to pouring everything out, you have an empty vessel. You got to know what you're doing. You got to be careful right there. Because if you let that empty vessel get filled with the wrong stuff, you know? So you've got to be, as a child of God, you've got to be alert and aware of the things that are happening in the kingdom. All right? That's why in many, many times in an altar service, you'll see individuals praying for individuals to pray through and that kind of thing, all right? And sometimes we've asked children to remove, you know, be removed. Parents take the children out of the altar area. Why? Because if something really is going on right there in the spirit realm and something comes out, it's going to find a place to go. So protect. I've had that happen before. Had that happen before when my children were really small because there was some really bad spirit things going on in the area. Hey, back up. Protect. Let's protect our kids. Don't let things like that happen. Does that make sense? Hope I'm not boring you today with this one-off, as we call it. I want us to understand that life brings us bumps and bruises, ups and downs, ins and outs, but it's how we respond to that and those situations that impact the outcome. And it's our determination to just keep pushing through, keep seeking, and God's going to reward. He's going to bring the thought, he's going to bring it to pass. If he's anointed it, he's called you, he's going to bring it to pass. He will. The Bible has the phrase, be not afraid. It's written in the Bible 365 times. It's a daily reminder to be not afraid. 365 times when you get up, be not afraid of what the day's going to hold. God can take your mess and turn it around into a message. He'll do that if we just trust in him. We lean on him. We depend on him. He will take that situation and turn it into a witness. He'll turn it into something positive. You may be going through something in life right now. Then when you get on the other side of it, guess what? God can use it for a testimony. The test that you're going through right now, the test can turn to a testimony in a heartbeat with God. In a heartbeat with God. It's nothing for God to do. Like Pastor taught us on a Wednesday night, a miracle for God is just his his nature. It's his DNA. That's just to us, as we went through the lesson on miracles, it was like unexplainable yet undeniable. It was wow, I can't believe that really happened. Dot, dot, dot. But yet we can't deny it. But to God, what is it? That's just who he is. Just like us breathing. That's what it is. So I challenge us to not allow the test to disrupt the development of our testimony. Because that's what's happening. If we take the spin off that the devil and the adversary would like to put on it, and we recognize what God has in store, and we lean not to our own understanding, but we trust in the Lord, God and God Almighty will bring to pass what he has spoken into our bosom. We can't be afraid of failure. We just can't. We've got to keep pressing on. Okay? As we stretch this church body, as we stretch it, and we do different things to reach out to the community, to touch souls in the community, to win over Sumter. We can't not have ideas because one didn't work. We've got to blast the community with things, with ideas, with witnesses, with all of those things, because one might stick. One time, he noticed that he didn't say that was 10,001 times that it didn't work. It was 10,000. So that last time it ended up working. What if this last time we go through Sumter with something, whatever that is, with the card, with a IT outreach, something along that? What if that's the time that it lands? What if that's the time that it brings one soul into the kingdom? What if that was the mustard seed card, the last one that I laid yesterday? What if that's the one that brings another soul in the kingdom? Just one more time. We can't get discouraged, because one soul being saved is worth it all. One soul coming into the kingdom is worth it all. It's worth every test. It's worth every trial. It's worth every failure, that one soul. So don't get discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Take the situation that you're in, whatever it is, recognize what it is, and go through it, as we've talked before. Go through it looking for what God is trying to do in the middle of that situation. And don't miss it. We don't want to miss what's going on in the middle of the situation. We want to see the beautiful fall leaves. We want to see the pretty colors. We want to see the green coming out in the spring. We don't want to miss it because we're going through a situation or a circumstance. If you look at the man Peter, and you look at Peter as he was told he was going to deny God three times, and yet he did. But look at what happened to Peter. Look at what God continued to use Peter in a mighty way. If you look after the denial, he still, the keys were still there. I mean, you know, after the denial, Acts 2 happened with Peter standing up and recognizing, okay, calling out that, you know, So God knows, he knows the end from the beginning. He already knows what's going on. In Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29 and 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." So in Jeremiah, he tells us right there that he already knows the end. We hear that all the time. He's out. He's on that side, and we're going through towards him. But he already knows that end. So we can stay as close to that called path as possible as human beings, or we can choose to divert that path, and we'll be way over here somewhere, you know, running from what God really wants us to do instead of searching for what God wants us to do. That's a whole different side of that line, with God being the center point or the center, and us trying to reach to Him. We can struggle through life trying to find through those situations, what is He trying to show me here, Brother Graham? What's He trying to show me while I'm going through this? Because this is a tough thing. I don't want to get my focus onto the tough time and miss what God's trying to show me. Okay? And I think right then and there is when it becomes a failure. I think it's a test when we're in the middle of it and we're trying to search and seek and find and learn what God's trying to show us during that test. Or we can take that whole same scenario and we can just run from it. Totally run from it. And we can go out there and say, I want to do it all on my own. I'm not going through this test. I don't want to do it. I'm gonna do something different. I'm gonna go out and, you know, carouse and do all this stuff and run from God, run from God, run from God. No, don't run from God. But you will be tested. You get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you get baptized in Jesus' name, it's not a guarantee that your life is gonna be a rose. It's just not. Because time and chance happens to us all. And you're going to go through. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. It's going to happen. But it's your mindset as you go through it that makes the difference. It's your mindset as you go through it that develops you as an individual. It develops your calling. It develops your ministry. It develops you as a person as you go through what God is allowing to come your way as a test. If you look at it in the right perspective, you're going to win. You're going to come out. You're going to be successful in the kingdom. And the kingdom is going to grow. And the kingdom is going to grow in many different ways. You know, kingdom growth is not always limited or addressed by or should be looked at as a number. That's not it. I teach at work all the time, you know, When we're not growing in number, we still want to grow. You know, where are you going to grow? What are you going to do? You know, how's your food cost coming out? Are you going to get better with that? How's your paper cost coming out? How's your labor cost coming out? How are we going to grow? We may not be growing in number up, but let's grow out. Let's get the foundation more solid than it's ever been before to prepare for that growth to come. So as a church, if you take that learning and you use it in the kingdom mindset, if your church body, as we are right here, we haven't seen that year that you told that there was so many that got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this building. We haven't seen that lately. But we're growing deep and we're growing wide. Everybody's ministry in here is getting more and more solid. Everybody's ministry in the kingdom is they're gaining more confidence in who they are in the kingdom, their spot in the kingdom. And then what's happening is God is seeing that, and individuals that are even in this room are getting encouraged to go out and reach and to touch. And then the foundation being solid, more individuals giving Bible studies than ever, more individuals speaking outwardly than ever before in the parking lots and in the Walmart. So the foundation is becoming solid and it's becoming thick. So when the numbers grow on top of it and you get more and more individuals that need more and more of our, remember our tables out here when we talked about relationship, friendship, fellowship, all that? When we become solid right here, as we go through those tests and they become testimonies and not failures, then the numbers come. Individuals that need us to be friends, individuals that need us to be fellowshipping with them, individuals that need us to discipleship with them, we're ready. We're confident. We're solid. There's more individuals on the foundation that's able to do that and willing to do that. Does that make sense? I believe with all of my whatever little fragmented mind is this up here in this cranium, that's what God's doing to this assembly right now. Because people are getting more confident in who they are. They're beginning to get more confident in who they are in the kingdom. And therefore, God is seeing that I've got a solid foundation that I can build on in Sumter. And it's going to explode, and it's not going to be many more days that it's going to happen, because we've got individuals coming up with good ideas, big ideas to present this church, to have this church presented in a better fashion. And that's what the community and the world today looks at. Okay, it really does. A couple of weeks ago, we have a new family coming into the church from Buffalo, New York, I believe. And, you know, they're going to be moving down here. And my wife has been texting back and forth with I believe her name's Melissa, if I'm not mistaken. And they're excited about what all, you know, we've presented what we have as a church. We've got a men's ministry going. We've got a ladies' ministry going. The men meet on the third. The women meet on the first. And we've got children. We've got Sunday school. We've got outreach. And they're going like, wow, that's great. We're in a church. We're trying to get that stuff started, and we're just getting it going. But it sure is going to be fun to come into the, you know, they talked about music and all of that. You know, what the ages of the Sunday school classrooms are and all this stuff. And it's super exciting. And why is that happening? Did anybody here go out and recruit them? I mean, they were in y'all's backyard. Did y'all walk across the? No, I didn't. They just showed up. Sounds like God to me, right? Sounds like God to me building the foundation. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't go out and lay out a card or witness or talk and invite. I'm not saying that at all. Invite them into the house of the Lord. Invite them to our website so they can look at it. If they can't come into the four walls, let them see the ministry going on. Invite them to it. But God is also... He's just drawing them. He's seeing the church body preparing. He's seeing the church body getting itself ready. And then he's bringing them. So we got to keep praying for the church. Keep praying for the ministries to continue to develop. Because God's seeing that the ministries are developing. They're becoming competent. They're becoming solid. They're becoming a foundation that can handle more. I mean, you know, I'll go back. I teach often that the secular and the spiritual, they kind of go hand in hand sometimes. So, but if our owner of the Hardee's, the franchise that I run, if he decided to buy 25 stores right now, today, our structure for the company wouldn't be able to support it. Does that make sense? So if you flip that over into our church body, okay, and you look at it, now we want 100-soul revival. We talk about having, you know, 10, 15, 20 lined up on there, and we talk about bringing in the whole Sumter community and all of that, and yay, I want that to happen. But God's bigger and smarter than we are. I think God wants us to develop. He wants us to get past our fears of 10, 15, 20 laying there, standing there to be baptized. He wants us to get past our fears of somebody taking our spot on the pew. We've got to develop past that. And once he sees us developing past that, he's going to call and bring and use us or his own voice to bring individuals into the house of the Lord. But we've got to get past where we're at and put our confidence in him. Does that make sense? Told you this was going to be a one-off. Pastor's going like, thank goodness it's going to be a one-off. I don't have to hear it next Sunday. But I just want you to know that the Lord knows, and he knows what he has in store for us. We just have to have a determination to keep on going. We have to call upon the Lord daily and allow Him to lead and to guide us through what we're going through right now. We as humans have the ability to delay what God has in store for us in the future. But we don't want to delay what God has in store. We want to trust in Him, lean on Him, and depend on Him to build this church. And remember, as I close, your failure is not final. Your failure is not final. Keep on trusting. Lord, we thank you, Sister Devitra. God bless you, church.
If we can all stand and pray together this morning. God, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that you are the lifter of our heads. I thank you for access. The veil has been torn. God, I thank you for our Sunday school teachers. Help them to never lose that sense of responsibility that these are the children that God has entrusted unto them. I pray for every person, every saint that operates in the kingdom, that they would not become weary and well-doing. Let there be fresh strength, fresh anointing, renewed purpose, renewed vision in the name of Jesus. We pray to the God of the harvest that you would send laborers into the fields. Give us a fresh burden for our city in the name of Jesus. If you can use anything, you can use me in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let there be an expansion of ministry in Jesus' name. I pray against the spirit of fear, the spirit of doubt. In the name of Jesus, we are no longer defeated. We're no longer a slave to fear. You are greater than all of our failures. Your love is greater than our failures. No name greater than the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, I'm believing you to break decades of chains off of our loved ones that walked away from truth. Off of our families. Off of our prodigals. Off of our backsliders. You're able to rebuild, restore all that's broken. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you raise beauty from ashes. That's what you do. You turn sorrow into joy. That's what you do. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we're asking, Lord, that there is freedom and liberty in the house today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, strongholds are fallen. In the name of Jesus. Whom the sun sets free is free. They are already free indeed. I feel a touch of heaven in this place today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, at the mention of your name, everything changes. You're taking us to a place where cancer won't survive in this house. Tears and sorrows won't last forever because you're turning it around in our favor. In the name of Jesus, let there be an impartation today of knowledge, understanding. In revelation, your word will not return void in Jesus' name. We take the limits off of you. Do what only you can do in this house today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, let the gifts be in operation today. In Jesus' name. Holy Ghost.
King is pouring out. It's a fire in my bones. It's healing to my soul. I feel it all over me. Under in control. Let it fall on me. Let it fall on me. The Holy Ghost and fire. Shout, is that upper room spirit that the King is pouring out? With his fire in my bones, with his healing to my soul, I feel it all over me right now. Surrender and control, let it fall on me, let it fall on me. The Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost, follow me, Holy Ghost. Jesus defeated the darkness. He has never lost a battle. And he never will, he never will.
And he never will,
he never will.
Never.
Thank you.
see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the rush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Why don't you sing it with us? Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the rush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Sing it again.
There's a holy hush around us as God's
atmosphere is right because the Spirit of the Lord is here. Just sharing a minute ago, everything of the majesty of God is in this house. There's not anything that needs to be done that He's not capable of doing with what's here already this moment. And in this place where the presence of God is dominant, it's my honor to invite my neighboring pastor and my brother to this pulpit. I believe that he's here in the will of God. I want us to stay in step with the Lord, okay? We didn't put this service together. We're here giving worship, and God's putting this together in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. I give honor to your great pastor and his wife, and to this great home church. It was a privilege to step in here before service today and hear the prayers, feel the power of the prayer, and able to come up to this altar and just spend some time again, like I've spent so many Saturday nights and so many times before and here in the past, and just feel the power and the presence of the Lord. It's beautiful to come into here and experience that once again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you'd like to be seated, you can. If you'd like to stay while I read some verses, you're welcome to stand. And I didn't get a chance to give these to IT team back there, Revelation chapter 1. This is not what I originally came preparing to preach, so if I had given you something earlier, it would have been the wrong thing anyway. Revelation chapter 1. Read beginning in verse 11 down through verse 18, Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake to me, and behold, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a two-edged, sharp, two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not. We've already heard in the hour of the session this morning, 365 times in the scripture that term fear not is used. For every day of your life, there's a fear not that's in this Bible. Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have keys of hell and of death. Jesus, through suffering and death, overcame. God bless you. You may be seated. Overcome, overcomers, if you want to put a title on it. Go speak to us for a few minutes and hear about overcoming. I'm going to read a couple more verses. You don't have to stand for these, but referencing some of the same thing. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 21. You mentioned in the Revelation 1 there, the chapter where Jesus through suffering, remember that. Through suffering, he was victorious. Through suffering, he overcame. Yeah. Through the cross, through the grave, through all of the rejection upon this earth, that's how he overcame. Through a high, high, high price of suffering and rejection. But he overcame it. And once you are victorious over something, you have dominance over it. You have power over it. You have the authority over it. Once you have mastered something, you are the master of that thing. Some of you going through some stuff, walking through some rivers and through some valleys and through some fire. Don't worry about it. Because when you overcome it, then you master it. You dominate it. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I'm sit down with my Father at his throne. Jesus said, I did it. I overcame, and you can overcome. Even as I did, you can do it. Revelation chapter 21. Verses 1 through 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. First heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They'll be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. God will wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. Former things are passed away. He overcame them. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write them. Write this down. Write this down, for these words are true and they're faithful." He said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that's athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Verse 7, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God. He'll be my son." Who's going to be the Son of God? Who's going to have God as their God? That overcomer. That overcomer that just kept on. That overcomer that came to church even when they were sick. That overcomer that kept on having faith even when it seemed like all hell was coming against their faith. That overcomer that said, "I will not quit. I will not give up. I will not become discouraged. I will continue to keep the faith." Because your faith's not going to make you ashamed. Peter, I pray for you that your faith fail not. And when you're strong, I need you to strengthen the brethren. A few weeks back, 3 or 4 weeks ago, my wife and I have, she's a school teacher and I'm a bus driver now, in case y'all didn't know that. So we're both on the same work schedule. So we both had a Friday off. We decided it was our time to go to Myrtle Beach, going to have us a long weekend, take off up there Thursday afternoon, as soon as we got out of school and off the bus and all that. We ran down there, had us a Thursday night and a Friday night. We're going to stay 2 nights. I had taken some of my fishing equipment. I was going to be on the surf fishing. She was going to sit on the balcony and read a book. That's her idea of a Myrtle Beach vacation. Two days undisturbed of sitting there listening to the ocean and reading a book. We got there Thursday night and got checked in, and somewhere during that night, I started feeling a little bit uncomfortable. And by early hours of Friday morning, I woke up throwing up. Sinus drainage or something, and I was in literal pain. The pain all in my face, pain all in the eyes, pain all around. And so I spent those first few hours of early Friday morning, if I moved, it was nausea. And I just, immediately had to run to the bathroom. Tried drinking some water. Minutes later, came back up. It's to the point the stomach was rejecting everything. So I'm back to the bed. Eventually, sunrise comes up, and I look out the window a minute and see it, but then my movement messes me up, so I'm heading back to the bed. Forget beach for this morning, maybe in a couple hours. But no, in a couple hours, it still wasn't over. So I'm praying. I pray until I fall asleep. I wake up, and it's still there, so I pray some more until I fall asleep. We go on through noon. We decide we're going to go try for breakfast. And I told her, I said, let's go. We headed down to the lobby area, and I made sure I noted where the bathroom was, and we got a table not very far from it. Got me a little bit of breakfast. I ate about 2 bites of it, and it was over with. I did have to make that little emergency detour and come back to the table. So forget it. It's not going to work. Go back up, and I go to bed. She goes out on the balcony to read her book and have a vacation. I go back to sleep and pray, sleep and pray, sleep and pray. Afternoon, I wake up, and she says, you ready to go, Captain Bennett's for the night? I'm like, no, forget it. No crab legs for me. About 6 o'clock that afternoon here, we've been 20-something hours that I've been in the bed. And I said, look, you just go have to go ahead and go get you something to eat, go do whatever. I just not going to be able to make it out right now. So she gets ready to head out, and before, I said, look, maybe if you'd go down and get me some Sprite and some crackers, maybe I can get this stomach to settle down a little bit. She got me some Sprite, some crackers, and some Pepto-Bismol. Came up, gave it to me, and about 2 minutes later, it was pretzels and Sprite. About 2 minutes later, there was pink pretzels and pink Sprite and Pepto-Bismol. This was 6:30 something. I said, never mind. forget it. You go ahead. She started to go out, and she saw a little brochure underneath the door that mentioned something about some pizza, a pizza delivery place, somebody. So she said, I'm just going to go ahead and order something here. She had some of that spicy pizza and some wings and all that stuff, had it brought to the room. Once it got there about 7, she said, you think? I said, not on your life. Forget it. I'll go back to my sleep and pray. But at 8 o'clock, I woke up. It had been almost 24 hours that I'd been laying there praying and talking to the Lord. And I woke up immediately, knew that whatever that sickness was gone. And I'm like, wow. And I told Tammy right then, I said, somebody back at home just prayed for me. I feel the virtue flowing. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost just flowing to touch me. You got some of that pizza and some of those wings left over? She had already stuck them in the refrigerator. I pulled it open and I ate some of that cold pizza and stuff, and it didn't bother me one bit. But now here it was, all 8, almost 9 o'clock. It wasn't time to go out fishing, and we'd already missed Captain Bennett's and all that stuff, so I lay back down and go to sleep again. About 30-something hours that I spent there in the bed. But about 4, 4:30 that morning, the Lord woke me up. He said, okay, you've been in here long enough now. I want to talk to you. I missed my fishing trip, but I had a good time of fellowshipping with God and talking to him. And I think maybe that's what was supposed to happen. Maybe I was supposed to just lay there for a while and rest. And so when I woke up early that morning, I just said, okay, Lord, I'm ready to hear from you. And he spoke a word to me. He said, corpuscles. I'm not the scientist or doctor or anything. I'd heard the word. I kind of was, knew what it was a little bit, but I really didn't know what it was all about. But I got up, and I knew it was time for me to do some reading and note-making and studying. And I went down and did a little research, and it has to do with the major components of the blood, the red blood cells, white blood cells, and platelets. And we have a lady in our church that has leukemia. And he spoke to me, and he said, when you go back to church Sunday, I want you to lay hands on her and pray for her corpuscles. And I'm going to send healing. I'm going to send virtue through her body. And then he spoke to me, somebody else. He said, this one is going through some fear, going through some things. She's worrying about some things that are not even issues that she truly has a problem with. She's afraid they're going to become a problem, but she's already worrying over them, and that fear is tormenting her about something that is not even existent as a problem. Anybody else know what that's all about? And so we went back to that service, and I began to talk about the power and the authority of God. Toward the end of the service, I called my wife up and had her join with me, and we called Sister Marcy up, and I said, this is what I've heard from the Lord, the word corpuscles, and that I was to pray for you. God's going to send a healing to you. She's pretty far advanced with her leukemia right now. I had been taking some medication, but it looked like the things were progressing. The numbers were dropping, and she quit taking her medication. She was believing that God was already working a miracle. So she just rejoiced that day. There was a powerful move of the Holy Ghost as she rejoiced and celebrated. And then the other one, Sister Claudia, I called her up. Job situation has just come up where it looks like she's fixing to have to leave her job, possibly go back to Jamaica. She's over here on a work program type thing. And just tons of fear because some of the other Jamaican teachers over there were getting removed from the program. Some were having to go back. And so and she was basing it on the fact that some of them had. She was starting to think, oh, this is likely to happen to me as well. So she was just going into this fear mode of uncertainty of whatever. So I called her up again, my wife, and I prayed for her, and we spoke against that fear. We rebuked that, commanded that it leave in Jesus' name, and God sent his powerful anointing to her again. She just worshiped, prayed, spoke in tongues, and received confirmation that whatever is going to take place, God's got this. You're going to overcome. God's going to be the victor through this. So we felt the power and the anointing of all of that, and I ministered to them about 4 years or so back. I was going through, I think I've referenced this here before, some anxiety attacks, terror attacks, torments at night. For almost a year, I went through some of that. Almost every night, I would have a panic attack in the middle of the night, an hour or two, have to go into sleep, wake up with some type of suffocation, asphyxiation, some kind of choking, drowning in wet cement, in quicksand, underwater type things. And it was just a torment that was coming over me, that horrible fears. I would have to get up out of my bed and go outside and begin to walk in the backyard in the open air because I couldn't stand to be in the room. I couldn't stand to have the light out. I was totally afraid of dark for a period of time. I called my pastor, and I had him pray for me over and over again. I called Brother and Sister Feld, our prayer coordinator at the time, and I asked them to pray for me. Different people that I trusted, I called, and I had them pray. I was eating a little bit of peanut butter one time, and I used to just eat it by the spoonfuls. I started to take a bite of it, and I felt like it was choking me. And immediately, I had one of those panic attacks, and I had to put the peanut butter away. My wife came later, and I had to get her to remove that peanut butter jar from the cabinet because I couldn't even look at it without having a flashback. I couldn't run more than about an inch of water in my bathtub because I was afraid I was going to drown. And I'm one of those that loves to fill it up and lay in it for an hour and just soak. Got to where Terminix, I crawl under houses all day long doing inspections. I started to go under a house and I freaked out. Panic coming all over me. And I'm under 40 or 50 a month. It's so not uncommon. But that thing, I was just like, good, this thing's got to go. I was getting to where I was fearful, starting to come home from work. I was afraid to even go to my house because fear was coming on saying you're going to have another panic attack. I was afraid to go to bed. I was getting 1 or 2 hours of sleep, and of course that was messing my system up all the more. Things were just shorting out, and this was ongoing for a long time. But I'm thankful that God helped me. Prayers of my wife, prayers of the faithful. But through it all, God also taught me something. Because once I overcame that, he gave me power and authority over fear. Shortly after that, COVID started, and one of the biggest things that COVID brought was a lot of fear. But I've been telling you, during that COVID time, there was no fear in me, because God had already helped me to master fear. He had already made me an overcomer. And I was able to pray with people during those times and rebuke fear that tried to come up in them, because God had given me the dominance and the authority and power over that. So we're here today. Jesus, through his suffering and through his death, overcame. John the Baptist, through great intense suffering, through great persecution, that's where he encountered his end time revelation. That's where he had his greatest spiritual experience, where he saw into heaven somewhere and saw end time things that he wrote about that nobody else could ever seem to understand. But here's the next thing. That next week, Marcy was supposed to go for her next level of blood test. She went, and I was convinced that we'd prayed. I said, this is going to be that breakthrough miracle that we've been believing for. We're waiting for it. Waiting for white blood cells, red blood cells, and blood platelets, bone marrow, ready for all this to be perfect. This report's going to come back so awesome. And at first she came back, she said, they're going to have to redo it, because the test seems so confusing that they don't think something was right. And I thought, like, yes, that's it. That's the miracle. And so she went back in, tested again, and she came back, and she said, my count went from 8. It's supposed to be going down. She said, my count went from 8 up to 50. And she said, they're going to have to increase my medication. And that thing hit me like a ton of bricks. It hit me. I'm like, God, I know what you spoke to me that morning. I know what we felt that Sunday in service. I know that you don't lie. I know that you don't make a mistake. I know that there's power and there's authority in your name. I know everything that I've felt in that service as you flowed and touched the name. And I said, soon as I got that report back from her, it was like a Monday, she texted that to me. I came straight in from work, went straight into my prayer room, shut the door. I laid down on the floor on my face, and I said, God, I'm not questioning you. I'm not doubting you. Please understand that. I know your word, and I believe you as much as I ever believed you. But right now, if you don't mind, God, this is kind of how I talk to him. If you don't mind, if you could kind of just give me a little bit of clarification. If it's all right with you, God, I believe with all my heart you're the miracle worker. And there is no doubt what you spoke and what you did. So I'm not really understanding for sure why it went backwards. What to us seems like it went worse. I said, and I told him, I said, look, from where I read in your Bible, every miracle, every time you went and healed somebody, they never got worse after you did a miracle for them. I said, I remember one time that a man was blind and you touched him and he was partially made whole, and then you touched him again and he was completely made whole. And I remember sometimes in your hometown you couldn't do some things there because of their unbelief. But I said, I don't remember any time where things got worse. And he took me to a story about a man named Lazarus. He said, when I started reading through that story, Martha and Lazarus and Mary sent for Jesus because Lazarus was sick. Mm-hmm. Jesus got the word. He got the request. He got the message. Yeah. And they believed that he had all power to heal. And they called out to him, and he didn't come when they thought he should come. He didn't come the way they thought he should have come. He should have just dropped everything and been right there. Boom, Lazarus, be made whole. But it didn't happen. If you read into his story, it said that he waited about 2 days. Then he turned to his disciples and said, okay, let's go on over there now. And it just that you read through the whole story, you start finding out. They said, you know, our friend Lazarus sleeps. And they said, oh, he's sleeping, he's doing good. No, you don't understand. He's dead. And then Jesus said, he's dead, and I'm glad. You read it, that very next verse. And I'm glad for your sakes. Because the Jews believe that up to 3 days after death, the soul kind of hovers around the body still. And there is a possibility that life could come back. But after 3 days, that soul goes away somewhere, and that it is impossible that life would come back. So he waits 4 days. And it looks like the situation got worse instead of getting better. But y'all know the story already, too. When he got there, he called for Lazarus to come forth. And life came back into Lazarus' body after 4 days. Because with God, it's not based on our timing. It's not based on the way we thought it should have happened. And when we thought it should have happened. How we thought it should have happened. But God is the great overcomer. And he has greater things in store for us than we ask or think. Greater things. And that's what he told me as I lay there on that floor. He said, my way is a better way. But what he reminded me was, don't lose the faith. You needed to keep on believing as much now as you believed before you got that last negative report. You believed it when I woke you up with the word corpuscle and told you I'm going to heal her. You need to believe it just as much now when it looks like the medical report's coming back a whole lot worse than it was a week ago. You got to have that kind of faith because it's faith that God's going to honor. And I'm still believing right now that God's in the process of working a miracle that's going to be greater than whatever it was that I was anticipating a couple weeks ago. And somebody in here right now, you've been asking for an answer. And you thought it was coming. You thought it was going to happen in a certain time. You thought it was going to happen in a certain way. And instead, it looks like the situation got worse. But the word from the Lord in here right now, this is it. Word from the Lord in here right now is, here's how you overcome. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You overcome. I become your God. You become my children. To him that overcometh, will I make to sit with me in heavenly places. The way you overcome is through the darkness, through the trial, through the river, through the fire, through whatever's going on. Daniel, how do you overcome? You overcome through the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Daniel, you can overcome through the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you overcome through the fire. He could have prevented every one of them, and that would have been a miracle. But he chose a greater miracle than what you or I might have chosen. And in doing so, he received greater glory. Because when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of that fiery furnace after the king and those around saw four walking in the fire, then the whole world of that day, or the whole community, the king said, this is the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He is the God. And if anybody says anything against that God, you're going to be the ones punished. God got the ultimate glory for it in a bigger way than he would have if the king had just said, okay, well, you three, y'all, I know y'all chose not to bow, but I'm going to allow that. That would have been a miracle. But that wasn't the kind of miracle that God had in mind. Daniel, God could have spared you from the lion's den. But instead, you went through it, and you came out with a greater testimony. Oh, Daniel, has your God protected you? Oh, King, live forever. Yeah, I had a good nap down here with the lions. I'm just fine. Let all the people know that the God of Belteshazzar, the God of Daniel, is the God of gods. Whatever it is that you're going through right now, pardon me if I'm not feeling the best right now either. I'm preaching, feeling pretty sick, but I appreciate your prayers in here right now. But I'm determined. I'm going to overcome. Because my overcomer overcame. All right? Here's the word. Now, here's what I need for somebody that's going through something. Y'all have been hearing about that great revival in Asbury. But if you remember how it started, I went back to research and tried to listen to all I could about the origin of it. Somebody had come to preach about the cross, about the love of God, and about people repenting. And one young man stepped up and stepped out, came up to the front to begin making some confession. With a broken heart, broken spirit, he began repenting. And soon, others saw his example and stepped out and joined him. And that's where it began. With that humility, that brokenness. There's something that God will honor. God honors humility. God honors a brokenness. God honors a repentant spirit. And somebody that just says, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up no matter what's happened. I want to be an overcomer. And soon there were a handful. And soon there were more. And then you know what happened. Soon it was the entire university. And now it has spread to universities all across the country. And it's even spread to some of our churches where revival is outbreaking. I wonder if there would be at least one today that say, I'm not ashamed to step out. I'm willing to be that one that would step up and by faith claim whatever it is that you're needing today from God. In spite of what report you just recently received. By the authority of the Word of God and through the power of the blood of the Lamb, there is overcoming power in this house right now. There is victory in this house right now. There is anointing in this house right now. I speak to overcomers in this house right now. Hallelujah. I speak to overcomers in this house right now. Would you step out and claim your promise? Would you step out and claim your promise? By the authority of the Word of God and through the power of the blood of the Lamb right now and in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind sickness. And we